Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Hey, if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Adam McHugh, talking about cultivating a lifestyle, a listening ear, an attentiveness, not only what God is saying, but what others are saying. Sometimes we hear people, but we're actually not listening to them. Really a powerful, engaging conversation. If you missed it, go back and catch the podcast. That'll be up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Well, now we're honored and blessed to be talking to our Faith Radio programmer, Greg Laurie. He's an author and a pastor. He's heard every day on A New Beginning here on Faith Radio at 1 p.m. We're going to talk about sharing our faith. And though that might be scary, guess what? There are ways we can do this as God prompts us. And this is the truth. God invites us. He compels us. He charges us to share the good news. And our story is a part of that good news, what God has done in us, through us, and for us. And sometimes that's the most compelling message of the cross, by saying, I once was lost, now I'm found. Let me tell you what God's done in my life. Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Greg Laurie is a senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in California, as well as the host of A New Beginning, heard right here on Faith Radio. He and his wife, Kath, have two sons, Christopher and Jonathan, and five grandchildren. Greg has presented the gospel, listen to this, to more than 5 million individuals through sermons and outreaches, with nearly 500,000 registering professions of faith in Christ. You can find his information and his influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Pastor Greg, welcome to the program.
Oh, are we on?
Yes,
air?
Sir, we are. Welcome.
I wasn't listening. Oh. I'm joking. That's because of your earlier segment.
No, yes,
thank you for that very kind introduction. Susie, it's great to be on.
You totally messed me up. That was really, really funny. totally deserved, too. So thank you for that. So, Greg, we love to talk scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a verse that you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Oh, boy, so many. It really depends on the moment, doesn't it?
Yes.
But one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure you know it, where God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And one of the reasons I love that verse is it doesn't say, God speaking, I know the single thought I once thought about you. And if God thought about me for a fleeting moment, one time, that would be more than enough. But it's the Lord saying, I know the thought, plural, more than one, far more than one, that I think towards you. But then we might be alarmed and say, yeah, but what if they're not good thoughts? Well, then the Lord says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So I love that verse.
That's powerful. And for those who don't know your backstory, Greg, I just feel like it's such, it's so critical to the whole idea of why we share our faith. You talk about being the most unlikely of all, that God would put his hand on you and have his plans for you to be somebody who shares faith with millions of people. Maybe people don't know your backstory. Would you mind sharing a bit of it with us?
Sure. You know, in the introduction to my book, Tell Someone, I write these words, and it sums it up. In some ways, I was not meant to be. You see, I was conceived out of wedlock. I was not planned by my beautiful, hard-partying mother as she met up with some man in Long Beach, California. They had an alcohol-fueled night of passion together and never really had a relationship beyond that. When my mother found out she was pregnant, she quickly married another man she was involved with at the time, and his name was listed on my birth certificate as my biological father. But here's the good news. For me, at least, though not planned by my mother, my life was indeed planned by God, just as yours was. So, you see, I was meant to be. And, you know, I was raised in the most non-Christian home imaginable. My mom was married and divorced 7 times. She had a bunch of husbands in between. She was a raging alcoholic. And I had to grow up fast because I had to learn how to fend for myself. And in many ways, I was more the parent in the relationship than my mother was, because she would get drunk every night and literally pass out. So I had to take care of her. I spent hours with her in the car driving drunk behind the wheel, fearing for my life. So it was a crazy childhood, tumultuous, uncertain. And then as I entered my teen years, I ironically began to drink and smoke. And then pretty soon I got into the drug culture, and I was heavily involved in it, thinking I would find some kind of answers through it. And, of course, I did not. And it just made my life more miserable. So by the age of 17, I felt like I was 70 because I'd experienced so much life, mostly negative. So it got me in a search for meaning. And basically for me, it was like process of elimination. I knew the answer was not in the life my mother lived. I knew the answer was not in the life I chose to live up to that point. So what was the answer? And it was on my high school campus I came across a very outspoken group of Christians that we call Jesus freaks. And I was warned by my friend, stay away from them. And I remember saying to one of my buddies, and I used to do drugs with, hey, listen, the last thing that will ever happen is Greg Laurie becoming a Christian. Well, famous last words. I attended one of their Bible studies on the front lawn of our high school campus. Not even invited, I might add. I just went and sat down close enough to sort of eavesdrop on their conversation. And for the first time, I heard the gospel in a way I could understand. And the guy who was speaking invited people to get up right there and ask Christ to come into their life. And I thought, there's no way I could ever do that. There's no way this would work for me. But before I knew it, I was praying. And that was the day Jesus Christ came into my life. And it was the day that the direction of my life changed dramatically.
So powerful. We're going to pause and take a quick break now. Just we've got a little audio issues. We're going to try to reconnect with Greg so we can not miss one word that he has to say. When we come back, he's going to talk about why so few of us feel compelled to share the good news with those within our sphere of influence when Jesus himself charged us to do that very thing. What's that about? Is it fear? Is it self-preservation? Greg has some thoughts about that. Talking to Greg Laurie, more with him when we return. That's so true. Thanks for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have Faith Radio programmer, author, pastor, evangelist Greg Laurie join us today. He's got a new book, So Simple. If you've always been afraid to share your faith, to share the good news with somebody, you got to get this book. Tell someone you can share the good news. And Greg, tell us why so few of us feel actually compelled to share the good news when Jesus charged us to do that very thing.
Well, Grace, I think one of the reasons is we're afraid of failure. You know, we're afraid that if we engage a person in a conversation, they'll laugh in our face or walk away, or they'll ask a question we don't have the answer to. But sometimes deep down inside, it might be a fear of, well, success. As in, wow, what if I share the gospel and the person wants to become a Christian? What do I do then? And so I try to deal with those issues and far more in this book. And in this book, I wrote it as though I was sitting down over a cup of coffee with someone and just explaining what I've learned about evangelism over the last 40 years, from preaching in stadiums and arenas to churches to one-on-one evangelism. And I've taken those principles and written them in a way that people can apply them in their life. And, you know, here's the bottom line. We're all called to share the gospel. It is a command from Jesus to go into all the world. Jesus did not say that the whole world should go to church, but he did say the church should go to the whole world. And that sounds like a daunting test. So maybe if we personalize it and just say go into all of our world. You know, every one of us has a sphere of influence. You have a sphere of influence here, Grace, on your radio network. And the folks listening, they have a sphere of influence in their neighborhood and in their family or their campus or their workplace. And go into that world. And engage people in conversation. You know, don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them, because the Bible says, how will they hear unless someone tell them? And so this book, Tell Someone, is about how to start that conversation, and even more, how to take that conversation to a place where a person can actually make a commitment to Jesus. Because I believe people listening right now who are Christians can and should and will be leading people to Christ if they apply the principles that we've put forth in this book, Tell Someone.
Here's a quote from the book. God wants to use you to bring other people to himself. You might protest, God could never use someone like me. Actually, he can and he will if you will let him. It could even happen before the day is over. He will not force you to share your faith, but listen, he will prompt you. And when you take that step of faith, he will empower and use you. I want you to discover the adventure of being used by God, especially in the area of telling others about Jesus. By the way, my name's Susie, and Grace is the gal that you talked to on the phone, but we're in this together, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. Got your name confused. Apologies.
No.
See, now this comes back to your segment earlier about
listening. Isn't that funny?
I need to go listen to that segment.
It's all good. Okay, just I got one back at you here, Greg. You have to tell the story about the bathroom story. Can you tell that story?
Oh, my. You want me to tell that story?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's my point. You know, the Bible says, be instant in season and out of season, or another way to translate it, be on duty at all times. Well, here's a time where the Lord prompted me, as you read, but I couldn't believe this would be a place to share. I went into the restroom, and I don't want to be too graphic, but, you know, I sat down, and I'm in the stall. We'll leave it at that. Please don't get a visual. And so I'm there, you know, and this is the thing. You know, when girls go to the restroom, it's not unusual for a girl to say, I'm going to the restroom. Anyone want to go with me? And five girls will go in the restroom together. Guys, we don't do that. You know, we go solo. We try not to talk to each other when we're in the restroom. It's just different, right? So I'm there, and next to me, in the stall next to me, I hear a guy clear his throat. So, okay, whatever. I'm not going to talk to him. And then I hear him actually say, hi. I'm thinking, hi? Why is he talking to me? I said, in the most dismissive way I could, hi. Like, I don't want to talk to you. And then he says, are you supposed to meet me here? And I'm thinking, oh, my, what is this? This meet him here. What is he talking about? I said, no, no. And he said, oh, I thought you had something for me. And now I'm curious. I said, well, what is it you're looking for? And then the thought occurred to me, I should share the gospel with him. And I thought, no way, not in a restroom. There's no way I would talk to this guy here. And then I said, well, what is it that you're looking for? And he says, well, I was going to buy some drugs. And I said, ah. And then I said, you know, I have something better for you than drugs. Now he's interested. He says, what? And I said, well, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought, you can't do that in a bathroom, Greg. This is nuts. But, you know, we're already rolling now. And here's what's funny. After I say that, the guy says to me, I already tried that. And I said, you tried a relationship with Christ? Yes, he said. I said, well, did you have a church you went to? He said, yes, I did. I said, where did you go to church? And he said, Harvest Christian Fellowship. Well, that's the church I pastor. He doesn't know who I am. I said, do you know who I am? He said, no. I said, I'm Greg Laurie, the pastor at Harvest Christian Fellowship. And then he said, oh, my God. So it's like this poor guy. I laughed and I said, buddy, God must really love you to send your pastor to you when you're trying to make a drug buy.
Amen.
I think you need to get right with God. So I shared with him, and but I didn't want to go any further. I said, look, I'll meet you outside. When I waited by the sock department, this was a department store. He came walking out. He was easy to spot. He was the guilty-looking guy. And I prayed with him right there, and he recommitted his life to Christ.
Unbelievable.
So God can use you anywhere.
Yes.
You know, that's my point. You never think of a thing like that. You think, I'm going to go witnessing now. That's good, by the way. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, instead of just going witnessing, how about remembering this? You are to be a witness whenever the Spirit prompts you to be one, wherever you are, so be available.
Awesome. You ask us if we'd be willing to lose our dignity for a moment and engage someone with a gospel mm-hmm. message. Why does that strike such panic in our hearts? I mean, what lie are we actually believing when we're so held captive by our own sense of respectability?
Well, I think it's a fear of failure. You know, it's a fear of just awkwardness. You know, whenever they take polls of Americans and ask them what they're most afraid of, almost always number one is the fear of public speaking, followed by the fear of death, which I've always found interesting. Okay, you can speak publicly or die. And the person says, fine, kill me now. You know, we're all terrified by the idea of that. And, you know, people might be surprised to know that for me, it's easier to speak from behind a pulpit than it is for me to engage a stranger, you know, in a conversation. But what I'm saying is, are you willing to leave your comfort zone and to lose your dignity? And by that I mean, hey, you might be laughed at. I'm not going to say it couldn't happen. You might be blown off. You might be rejected. But listen, you might find a person that's responsive. And you, I think the key is when we go up to a person, you know, we want to sort of build a bridge with them. The objective is to build a bridge, not burn the bridge. And, you know, Jesus is really the ultimate example of how to start a conversation with a person. I have a chapter in my book called Evangelism Jesus Style. And I talked about how he engaged the woman at the well, and I identify a number of principles that he employed in starting a conversation. And when we're talking to a person, you know, that's our objective. It's to win the soul, not just win the argument. So you have to take that little step of faith, though, and get started somewhere. So, hey, it's worth it.
And the best way, you say, to start, at least, when, especially if you're intimidated by the idea of presenting the good news, is to start with your own story, just what God has done in your own life?
Yes, and that's how we started this conversation. I told my story. And, you know, that is the one thing a person cannot dispute. You know, you can say, I believe in the Bible. And they'll say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. The Bible's full of contradictions. And you can go down that road and respond to that. Or they might say, yeah, well, what about this or what about that, you know? But when you say, let me tell you my story, they can't dispute your story. It's your story. And here's another reason telling your story is good, also known as your personal testimony. It's a way to help the listener understand that you weren't always the way that you are. You know, people meet us as Christians and we quote scripture and we talk about prayer and our relationship with God. And sometimes I think they think we're all collectively nuts. And that's what I used to think about Christians. Why would anyone think this way? I thought, where do these people come from? Well, you know what? We were converted. That's what happened. And so when you tell your story and share the way you looked at life and things before you were a Christian and how you became a Christian, that's sort of a way for the person to realize, wow, that's how you came to this point. And also, it's a way to preach to a person without preaching at a person.
Yeah.
In other words, I could say, you need to repent and turn to Christ. And there's a place for that, by the way. But in the early moments of our conversation, I might start with saying, you know what? I was not interested in God at all, but here's the course my life took. But someone said to me one day, I need to turn from my sins and believe in Jesus. And I did that. And here's what happened to me. So I'm telling them what happened to me, but in effect, I'm now preaching to them.
Absolutely amazing that you have so many good stories in this little hardcover book. And there's times where you can tell, like in the bathroom, where you had no plan, but you were available and God nudged you and you responded. But there's other times, like you say, you built a bridge. When you talked about your mom and the many husbands she's had and how your life was jerked in and out of these situations, but there was one man who was mostly a father to you. He was an attorney. He was not a drinker. He was respectful, and you loved him, and he was good to you, and one day your mom yanked you out of that situation. So then as an adult, you go back to reconnect with him. Tell us what happened there. That one made me gasp. I was sitting at my desk, and I gasped when I read it.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, you know, my mom was drawn to these, I don't know how to describe them, barfly type guys. You know, the guys that have just a few too many buttons on their shirts undone, you know, and you know, smokers, drinkers, this whole scene. And they're all so similar. And then somehow she meets this guy named Oscar Laurie, an unusual name even. And he doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. I don't know what my mom saw in him. He wasn't like any husband she'd ever had. And this is a man that stepped in and he legally adopted me, which says a lot. And he took an interest in me. He loved me. He treated me as a father ought to treat his son. You know, he helped me to discover, you know, what it was to be responsible. I had to do chores for my allowance, all that stuff. And I loved him. And when my mom showed up at school one day, driving the Cadillac loaded up with suitcases and said, we're leaving New Jersey. I asked her where she was going. She said, Hawaii. Well, I was excited because I'd never been to Hawaii before. And I said, where's Dad? She said, he's not coming. You know, and this devastated me. And I didn't see him for years. So after I became an adult, and I became a Christian. I wondered if he was still alive, so I located him living in New Jersey. And so I was going to be speaking in New York City in Central Park. And so I called his office and reconnected with him and said, hey, I'll be in town. Maybe we could get together for lunch. And he said, oh, no, come and stay the weekend. I was saying, oh, no. And I didn't call him dad at this point. I just said, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't want to inconvenience you. Oh, no, he says, please come. And he's since remarried and had children in his new family. And well, I went with my wife and our oldest son, Christopher. And when I saw him, it was just like no time had passed at all. And we caught up in old times. And what I found out was my dad had a heart attack and blacked out behind the wheel of his car and crashed into a telephone pole, almost had died. So I realized, oh, this is the divine appointment. So one night, sitting around the table for dinner, his wife, Barbara, was an amazing cook, a wonderful Italian meal. She asked me to tell my story of how I came to Jesus, which I did. And it was funny because she was very responsive as I was speaking, and he's just on the other end of the table, sort of his hands up to his face, and he's listening. I felt like I was in a court of law, and the judge wasn't buying my testimony, you know? No visible reaction. So that night he said, Greg, will you walk with me in the morning? I have to walk every day because I have these heart issues. I said, sure, Dad. I'm calling him Dad at this point. So he knocks on the door of my room at 6 in the morning, East Coast time, 3 o'clock California time. I roll out of bed just really tired and groggy, and as we're walking in the brisk New Jersey air, he said something that just blew my mind. He said, Greg, I would like to accept Jesus Christ into my life right now. And I'm thinking, what? Boy, was that a wake-up call. And I said, do you understand what that means? And I went over it again. He's a very intelligent man, very educated man. He says, no, I understand, Greg. I want to accept Jesus right now. And I said, okay, Dad, well, we need to pray. And he drops to his knees. We're in a park at this point. We've been walking. He drops to his knees. I wasn't going to get down on my knees and pray, but since he was there, I went down on my knees too. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I led him in a prayer. And I've never seen a more immediate and radical conversion in all of my life. And he went on to serve the Lord for 15 more years. He got involved in this church and got involved with the Gideon Bible Society and served God. So it was great. You know, he impacted me as a young boy, and I was able to go back later in my life and lead him to Christ and see him grow spiritually.
Wow, timing is perfect. Our first half hour is up, Greg, and we're going to be praying for you in the days ahead. Cannot thank you enough for all that you do for the kingdom of God and for making it accessible for us to share the good news. Bless you for your time today.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
And you as well. Title of his book, Tell Someone You Can Share the Good News. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with author Pastor Craig Rochelle. 3 things a guy needs to learn from the life of Samson. Another great half hour is up ahead.